Okay, here we go. Let's have some fun.
From the Hill Country of Texas, this is One Radio Network.
Pleasant good evening to you, and this would be OneRadioNetwork.com. OneRadioNetwork.com. The voice is a little shaky tonight. I feel great. I don't know what's going on, but you know. My name is Patrick Timpone, and it's February the 9th, 2009, and we have a great week lined up for you this week on One Radio Network. That'll be telling you a bit more about as we move on tonight. And we have the Real World of Money coming up, Open Phone Friday. We have the Horizon Project gentleman who is mixing together prophecy and science, talking about 2012 tomorrow night. Also a gentleman who talks about freedom and stuff. Really cool guy tomorrow night. A lot of good things. Compact fluorescence and electromagnetic fields will be a subject of conversation on Thursday evening. But tonight is tonight. The here is here. That's all we got. Be here now. That's what my Ram Dass used to say. On the phone in Malibu, California, is Adjanus Vonderplanets. Adjanus, how are you? It's about time we connect up here, I tell you.
Having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you here, sir.
And it's Adjanus.
Adjanus.
Yes.
Adjanus. It's kind of like in Italian when you have a little indigestion, you have agena.
Agena, yes.
Have you ever heard that one before?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I say it's more like homogenous without the hum.
Homogenous. Adjanus. Is that a German?
No, that's Greek.
Greek.
Yes.
Greek.
German is the last name, yes.
Oh, Vonderplanets is German, but
yes.
Agenis is Greek, huh?
Correct.
Do they eat raw meat and stuff in Greece?
Sometimes.
Do they?
Yeah, some people, yes.
Uh-huh, yeah. Agenis of Vonderplanets is a very interesting man. He has a great website called We Want to Live with the two as a numeral two, and a couple of books. We Want to Live, and also then The Recipe for Living Without Disease, and The Primal Diet is your primal thing.
Yes, it is.
Yeah? And how long have you been a primal kind of guy?
Well, the primal diet took many years to develop because I was a very sickly child, and I developed 8 incurable diseases by the time I was 20 years old, including
really?
4 cancers. Blood and bone, stomach and lymph. And I was on my way to the deathbed. So I had to do something different. And a hospice volunteer told me about care juice and raw milk. Raw care juice and raw milk. And that changed my life. So I began investigating. Yeah, you know, I didn't get well overnight.
Sure, sure.
But I did. With the raw milk, I was able to stop taking insulin within 2 weeks.
Uh-huh.
And I was a juvenile diabetic, type 1 diabetic.
My good. What did you have going on when this happened, Agenis?
When I had all of those diseases by 21?
Yeah. A lot, huh? A lot of
stuff.
Yeah,
well, I was a very sickly child. I had a brother who was born. I was born about 18 months after he was, so he's still in diapers. And he never forgave me for taking mom's attention away from him.
Ah, I see.
And, you know, in a snap, he just as I got home. So he was pushing me on rusty nails and rakes and things like that. Anything that my mother would take me to the hospital. You know, everybody's afraid of lockjaw, so especially with infants and children. So I had 3 tetanus shots by the time I was 18 months old.
My goodness.
And that gave me autism. So I was unable to communicate, but and when I would go into my stairs, my parents would slap me and prevent me from doing that. I mean, if I just kept going for 5 minutes, kept going in the stairs, they'd slap me for the whole 5 minutes.
My goodness.
So I wasn't allowed to behave autistically, although I was autistic. I just couldn't communicate.
And what do you attribute the autism to?
Tetanus shot.
Tetanus shot.
The mercury, the aluminum, the formaldehyde, the ether and detergents that they put in vaccines. It's caused that kind of problem in a lot of children, tetanus shots. Of course, a lot of other vaccines do the same.
We talked about it a few days ago, that this big Italian study that the proponents of the vaccines have been hanging their hat on for many years found out that they jimmied this study. Did you see that?
Yeah, but, you know, I also take a look at that and say, how much are they manipulating that?
Oh, you mean the other side?
Yes. Re-manipulating that particular examination. To make it favor of them. But probably the best way to verify that is to take a look at cultures who do not vaccinate. And you take a look at your Amish and Mennonites, they do not vaccinate. They have zero autism.
Zero.
Even though they're pretty much inbred. You know, they don't have a large gene pool. And yet they have no, absolutely zero autism.
I wonder how much the mercury fillings attribute to it as well.
I don't think very much, because when they gas, they crystallize as it's absorbed into the body. It's usually your liquid mercury that causes that kind of neuron damage. If you go to Alberta, Canada's university's website, and you put on there vaccines, mercury, neurons, you'll come up with a DVD of time-lapse photography of neurons growing, and they drop 2% solution of mercury into it, and you get to watch the neurons just disappear.
Wow.
They just disappear.
Agnes, you travel all over the world. I mean, you are always traveling, right?
Yes,
I mean,
I'm traveling 9.5 months a year.
My goodness. So you do workshops, like for a weekend? Do you go into a city and do a weekend workshop on the primal diet?
Well, I do one-day workshop and then see patients for 2 to 5 days.
Wow. And people that come to you when your visits traveling, are they people that are eating the primal diet way, or just a wide variety of people?
A wide variety of people, but mostly people who come to the workshop have an interest in it. And, of course, there are many people who return to the workshops to get the newest information, you know, because I experiment all the time. So they get the newest information, and also everything you learn. I have 40 years of experience, so people understanding all that I give in a 6 to 7 hour workshop could take, you know, generations understand all of it. So a lot of them attend them every time I return to their city.
Let's invite the listeners in. If you have a question or a comment for Agnes von der Planets, and it is 888-663-6386. That's 888-663-6386. For the shy among you, have some raw meat. No, for the shy among you, just email patrick@oneradionetwork.com, oneradionetwork.com. So, Agnes, tell us just what the basic kind of paradigm of the primal diet is.
Well, the paradigm comes off of trial and error. You know, I went into raw food vegetarianism. I've done all kinds of diets to experiment with what works. So I rested upon what worked and then worked backwards in science to try to understand why. And basically what I've come up with, whether, you know, it's right or wrong in every aspect, is that we have an acidic digestive tract. We have acidic bacteria, which feeds on acidic foods, mainly. You know, like 95%.
Acidic bacteria, like, you mean the bacteria in our gut?
Correct. In our intestines.
I see.
And, you know, like the hydrochloric acid is the first acid besides that in the mouth, which is mainly acidic bacteria from the mouth. You know, we have more bacteria in the mouth than any other animal. We have double what cats and dogs have.
Really?
Yep.
I thought it was just all that kissing that we do. Yeah, that's not it, huh?
No, that's to introduce the bacteria that will be eating your food.
I see. Well, what about, though, we hear so often, Ajahn, it's about how low everybody is on HCL in this culture. I mean,
well, that's because they're eating processed foods, which causes a lot of problems. People are eating salads.
Salads?
Which neutralize that.
Salads neutralize HCL.
Yep. Yeah. See, what happens is, we're herbivores have a digestive tract 2.5 times longer than ours. They have 2 to 4 stomachs. They have 60,000 times the enzymes and bacteria to disassemble cellulose molecules to get the protein and fats from cellulose, from vegetation, which are leaf stalks and roots.
Uh-huh.
We don't have that. Our digestive tract is half the length of that, and we only have one stomach.
Yeah, last time I checked, that's all we had.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
So when we have salads in our stomach, they produce alkaline fluids.
Alkaline, yeah.
And that neutralizes our acidic digestive juices, and also help neutralize the acidic bacteria.
Yeah, so that would make sense then. So someone who is on like a raw food vegan diet and then tried to introduce meat all of a sudden, they could have a problem.
They could have a little bit of a problem.
Because there's no HCL in there to do much of anything.
Right, but that usually hasn't been a problem. Because even though we're not like the dogs and cats, they produce 15 times more hydrochloric than we do in the stomach. However, we produce more than they do because we have a digestive tract that's almost 2.5 times longer than theirs.
Yeah, a lot of the people are the people that are promote vegetarian type diets claim that that's one of the reasons why we are vegetarian, because this digestive tract is so long. Yeah, I mean, you just, by the time the meat gets through, it's rotten. I mean, how often have
Not
you heard that?
Not at all. No, only if you cook it.
Only if you cook it.
Does it putrefy, yes. But we produce as much, more hydrochloric than dogs and cats do over a longer digestive tract.
Over a longer digestive tract.
Yeah, so they digest very quickly. But see, they need a lot of bones.
Yeah, the animals eat the whole thing. Right?
Yeah.
So
they don't eat the bones. So they need that concentration of hydrochloric acid. Plus, they don't rip their foods into smaller pieces. They will swallow huge chunks.
Mm-hmm.
So they need that hydrochloric acid to separate the food so the bacteria can eat the food molecule.
What part of the stomach produces, or what part of the body produces the hydrochloric acid?
The stomach and the small intestines.
The cells there in the stomach? Ajahn?
Correct, yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because then I wonder what happens to people who, eat a lot of gluten growing up and are gluten intolerant and don't know it, and then they have the stomach lining gets eaten away a little bit and
end up with Crohn's
disease. Yeah, and all that stuff, leaky gut syndrome, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Does that issue inhibit their ability to make hydrochloric acid?
Yes, it does.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So how would they, on a healing, they'd have to get back, would they get back?
Well, they get back pretty quickly on raw eggs and raw dairy, raw milk.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in fact, the combination makes very good mucus to line the stomach. However, if I have somebody who has leaky gut, that means they have Crohn's, and Crohn's is basically when your mucus lining thins in your intestinal walls and in your stomach.
Mm-hmm.
And then your own digestive acids begin eating away at your intestinal walls and make them very thin.
Uh-huh.
And then when you eat too much food at one time, the gut rips, and then food particles undigested will pass into the gut and usually go to the knees first and cause knee problems. And then sometimes it goes to the hips or elbow or shoulder, and very rarely goes to go to the feet, but some people it does. And if it's a very long-term disease, then it will affect every joint in the body, and then you end up with arthritis and rheumatism.
Here's an email from Marie. She says, I've heard that it's best to lightly cook the whites of eggs lightly cook and then mix with the raw yolks, because the eggs, the white part can't be digested if it's raw.
Not true at all.
Not true.
No. There's a belief that the avidin in the egg white will bind with the biotin.
Correct. That's what I've heard as
And, cause biotin deficiency. However, that happens in a test tube, but it doesn't happen in actuality in empirical science. I have people eating up to 50 eggs a day.
Yeah.
You know, if they have Crohn's disease.
Wow.
Because that's the only thing they can digest without much digestive energy. Because you have to understand, your proteins and fats are already liquid in an egg.
Yeah.
So it takes very little. You don't have to worry about hydrochloric acid in a situation like that, because the food particles are already fractionated. The bacteria can go right to work on digesting them. So eggs, raw eggs, can be digested in 27 minutes.
Do you think that there's a big upside if you can get the raw eggs that are more grass-fed or really the cage-free and the real deal?
Range-fed, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard, though, these days, isn't it, to raise chickens completely a naturel?
Well, it's only because people are greedy.
Oh, they want to get a lot of eggs.
Want to get a lot of eggs and want to make a lot of money. So they use soy.
Yeah,
and raw soy will kill any kind of bird, any kind of fowl.
Really?
So they have to chemically process it with a kerosene derivative and heat process it.
Mm.
And when you do that, then, of course, everything tastes like cardboard or postage stamps, the meat itself, and the eggs don't taste as good. And plus, they're not as healthy.
But so you believe there's a big upside with if you can really find some range grass-fed chickens.
Yes, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Of course, they don't eat much grass. They eat the
bugs
insects.
And stuff, yeah.
Like, I have a lot of Amish farmers who farm the way I like them, too. And what they do is take from their slaughter, anything they slaughter, take the guts, and then put them out, and bones and everything with meat on them, anything that they're going to discard. And rather than throwing it into the compost, they put it on wood pallets in the field with the chickens.
Uh-huh.
And then the flies will lay their larvae, and these chickens eat the larvae, even eat the maggots, and they eat some of the meat, and they love rotten meat like ducks do.
Mm.
And these chickens, I went out into the pastures with them. I visit them about every year and a half. And when I was there, the chickens, there's no area on the chickens where they have thin feathers. They're all full and healthy. They don't peck each other. And if you walk out into their yard, they'll come up and rub up against you like cats.
I'll be darned.
Yeah.
Agnes von der Planitz and 888-663-6386. Hi, what's your first name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Patrick, it's Adam from Toronto. How are you doing?
Hi, Adam from Toronto. You're on the air with Agnes. Go ahead.
About 2 months ago, I started adding in raw animal products. I started with eggs. I just left off the 80-10-10 diet, which I was having a lot of trouble with heavy quantities of fruit. I wanted to start the primal diet initially, but I actually couldn't get any dairy, so I was just starting with the raw meats and stuff. I just wanted to talk a little bit about some of the problems I had initially, which was I didn't really feel that it was, I didn't understand how important it was to get grass-fed meat. Uh-huh. I didn't understand how sensitive my stomach was. And what ended up happening was I was eating all this beef, and it was tasting great, all this raw beef, but it was grain-fed. And I could taste the grains in the flesh at times.
Mm-hmm.
And then what started happening is my skin started drying up and getting, like, it was on fire, and my hair started falling out. This happened really quickly, too. It was actually very shocking.
Wow.
And then I started buying grass-fed beef, and then I noticed the taste. The difference in, like, the taste of the beef almost immediately, and my problems went away, snap of the finger. But then what ended up happening was I realized that I kept buying grass-fed beef from the same source, but they were getting it from different farms, and some farms were feeding their animals grass-fed, but some were obviously lying about it. you know? And then my problems started to come back. I finally found a source here in Toronto that they don't feed it 100% grass, but at least it's not grain. It seems to be, I think it's grain that was causing me all these problems.
Hmm.
But yeah, I'm just giving people a warning that, you know, don't be surprised when people lie to you about what they're selling you, you know? Like,
Ogenus, have you heard this story before? So the difference between the grain and the grass fed?
Well, it doesn't usually occur as long as you have dairy. If you have butter, it will absorb those toxins,
uh-huh.
And it will prevent, just remember, any toxin, 90% of the toxins in your body leave through the skin. So you will have dry skin, you're going to have rashes, anything like that from toxins in the body, mainly from our industrial pollution in the food, additives, pesticides, herbicides, anything like that,
mm-hmm.
Most of that leaves through the skin. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't, if it stays in your body, you'll have a disease. You'll develop a disease. So you can expect to have rashes and problems. And I always suggest, in the primal diet, dairy is a major event. And I say event because it protects you, your skin, and everything from the damage done by expelling these toxins out of the body, especially somebody who's been on a fruitarian diet. You know, it demineralizes the system, it defats the body.
So the dairy actually gets rid of the toxins?
Yes, it helps remove them. All the calcium, see what the body will do? The body will throw them into fats.
Uh-huh.
And it'll bind them with minerals as it does that. And there's a lot of alkalinizing minerals that are used for that, mainly calcium, phosphorus, potassium, magnesium. And then the fat molecule will bind with that, take them to the lymph system. The lymph system will dissolve them into a fluid, neutralize that toxicity, and then dump it into connective tissue to be perspired out of the body.
We've had guests on the show who really feel like butter is just one of the best ever foods, grass-fed butter.
Absolutely.
Why is butter so magical?
Well, butter is digests very rapidly, especially if it's raw.
Uh-huh.
The liver only has to make about 40 varieties of bile to make the 60 varieties of cholesterols that can be made from fat. That to do a variety of things. A third of them lubricate the body, a third of them give you energy, and a third of them are used to cleanse the body. However, butter does not make good nutrients or a complete nutrient for the brain and nervous system. That takes fresh raw cream or, you know, kefir yogurt. It has to be in a form that's not butter. It has to have its H2O still heavily in it, mm-hmm. To do that.
So the cream and the kefir and the yogurt, it's a big part of this diet.
Yes, well, it can be. You don't need much cream to feed the nervous system. That's probably only about 12% of the body's tissue is nerves. You know, including the brain.
Yeah.
And then you've got the entire rest of the tissue, some 80% that will react with butter much better than cream.
Adam, did you have another question or a follow-up?
Actually, I had two. The first one was is that in your book, you emphasize on the veggie juices, but among a lot of the raw paleo community, a lot of them seem to feel right now that vegetables are toxic and that especially veggie juices release too many carcinogens in the body. What are your thoughts on that belief?
Well, if they're not, you know, a lot of your paleos, and it's funny they say Paleolithic because they never lived in the paleo or they don't remember any lives, as far as I know, that they lived in the paleo times, and most of them believe that a lot of fruit is important. However, when I lived outdoors for 3 years traveling all of North America from Alaska with the Eskimos all the way down to the Mayans in Mexico, there's very little fruit, only if man cultivates it. Mm-hmm. So the idea that man in his, you know, earlier days and primitive days and paleo times ate a lot of fruit is absolute nonsense.
In other words, there just weren't a lot of wild pear trees or apple trees and all
that. No, there weren't. Let me tell you, I rarely found them. And when I found them, they weren't in season very long. And they're very scarce. Probably the only thing you'll find a lot of, and still that's very minimal, are berries. And most of those berries are for the birds.
So for the birds. So you don't eat a lot of fruit at all?
No, I eat one a day, one every 2 to 3 days only.
And do you do that with the meat, with the raw meat?
No. That's separately entirely. I'll eat some fat with it to make sure it doesn't demineralize me or defat me.
And
so the sugar will be absorbed slowly.
What kind of fat would you might eat?
Well, I like, let's say I'm eating dates, I'll eat cheese or butter and cheese with it.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm eating pear, I might eat butter or raw cream or coconut cream.
Mm. And your other question, Adam?
One of the things that started happening to me before I went raw about a year ago was that the lymph nodes on the right side of my neck started swelling big time. And I had a lot of indigestion problems, and I'm still dealing with those. But when I actually went to the ER a few months ago to get checked out, one of the things that they noticed was that my spleen was enlarged big time.
Mm-hmm.
So swollen lymph nodes, enlarged spleen, but they were also noting to me that I was very pale and palish yellow, but that they didn't notice any jaundice in my blood test. So just wondering what you would recommend for that.
Well, it's normal for people to have enlarged spleens if they've done a high fruit diet.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What it does is it causes a lot of white blood cell loss, and the body is over manufacturing red blood cells normally. So they collect in the bone marrow where your blood, red and white blood cells divide and mature. You only have so many, you have a ratio of red to white blood cells. So if the body's trying to pump out more white blood cells, it's going to be overproducing red blood cells at the same time. And the spleen holds your extra red blood cells.
That answered for you, Adam?
Well, what would you recommend nutrition-wise?
I wouldn't eat red meat.
Okay.
I would eat chicken and fish.
Chicken and fish.
Right.
Okay.
Thanks,
awesome.
Adam.
Thank you.
I was going to ask you about that. You mean you actually... You eat raw chicken.
Oh, raw chicken, raw beef,
wow.
Raw any kind of animal.
See,
raw
now chicken.
Scorpion, raw snake.
Chicken is the only thing that seems a little strange to me, but the rest all seem, which I've done, I've eaten raw, like grass-fed lamb hearts before, and they were really yummy, you know, but the chicken, I don't know why it seems a bit, I don't know, why is that? Is it just
it's
me?
Our conditioning.
Is
you
it?
Know, the, you know, it's like pork and the chicken are told that...
Yeah.
Carry more disease, and that's only if they're farm, you know, if they're concentrated farm raised,
uh-huh.
And they're not raised naturally, they're in small cages. Yeah,
yeah.
They have a lot of disease.
Yeah.
They're fed antibiotics and all kinds of problems. But when I was on the island of Moorea, which is between Bora Bora
oh,
and
what a Tahiti. Beautiful place.
Yeah. They taught me to eat the raw birds there. They would marinate it in lemon juice. And dice up some tomatoes, and oh, just delicious!
Really, they would just take the feathers off and skin the birds and just go for it.
Yes, yep.
Wow.
Well, they chop it up and they marinate it in lemon juice. The same way they do fish.
Oh yeah, just like the Hawaiians would do like fish. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I want to live in Moorea when I grow up, Ajay. What a place that is.
It is. It's
I've just
wonderful.
Seen. I've just seen. It was in a movie that I really like called Love Affair with Warren Beatty and Annette Bening, and they go to Moorea to see Catherine Hepburn, who's an aunt, their aunt, and it's just amazing, you know.
Yeah.
And I said, what goes on out at that island?
Well, I haven't been there since 96. Uh-huh. I was there in 96. And it's more native than anywhere else. There's a high mountain there. There's lots of waterfalls.
Wow.
Some of those roads are pretty steep. I bicycled around it.
Really?
I got around on a bicycle there.
How big of a place is it?
Oh, the island's probably about 9 by 6 miles or... maybe 8 by 6 miles.
Yeah, not a lot going on, right?
No, it isn't. But most of them are natives. There are some hotels there.
Uh-huh.
They're right on the beach, and they're smaller hotels. It isn't like Tahiti or Bora Bora, where they're very developed.
Yeah. Well, what's the closest place that we might know of the island or the area? In other words, a more famous place that we might...
Tahiti and Bora Bora.
Right around in that area.
Yeah. Well, Morea is the island between Bora Bora and Tahiti.
Ah, well.
Polynesian
Islands. Vonderplanets. His book, We Want to Live Now, your latest book is The Recipe for Living Without Disease, right?
Correct, yes.
Okay, and your website is wewanttolive.com. My name is Patrick Timpone. We're going to talk with a gentleman who says if you ever have to go to court, he can show you how to not go and just win. It's called abatement, and he did it with a grand jury, a four-count grand jury, and never had to show up and never did anything, and it just went away. That is tomorrow. That's pretty good information. That's tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, and then the Horizon Project tomorrow night, where they're melding prophecy and science, all about the earth changes and kind of possibly wild times coming ahead, and maybe nothing will happen, but that'll be tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, right here at OneRadioNetwork.com. Let's go back to the phones. Hi, what's your first name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, Patrick. This is Mike in Chattanooga.
Hi, hello, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing super. I got a question for a jaundice.
All right.
My question to him is, my dad was diagnosed 30 days ago with cancer of the lymphatic system and the bone cancer, and so we went and seen two different herb doctors, and you know they use the eyedollars where they look at the eyes.
Iridology.
Right? That's what I do.
Yep. And
that's
so both of them come up with the same conclusion. They're saying that my dad, since he's in the bad state, his digestive tract isn't working at all, really. That he must eat cooked food, and so because we used to have him on raw, and he wasn't doing very good on it at all. And so they recommended him to eat nothing but cooked vegetables right now for the next couple months. And then as his digestive tract comes back on, then they do recommend the raw diet.
Well, the problem with most of your nutritionists is they've never been sick and they don't know what they're talking about. They're just repeating from other people. And they really don't know how to balance it. If your father was eating vegetables, like I said earlier in the show, he's not going to digest well, especially if he has a low digestive ability. But people who have low digestibility, if he has bone cancer, it's likely he has digestive problems like Crohn's, and he needs to eat lots of raw eggs, but he needs good quality raw eggs. And they digest in 27 minutes, so his body spends very little energy in digestion and will spend the energy and nutrients in healing and detoxifying.
Raw eggs.
Lots of raw eggs.
And of course, they've only given him 2 months to live. You know, he's really weak, and so I had to take him to a colonics, have him washed out, you know, every couple of days.
That's not a good thing.
But the thing is, he's doing better every day. It's like, you know, we get these poisons out of him.
Yeah.
It's like he keeps doing better and better, leaps and bounds.
But the problem there is you're rushing E. coli into the system, and E. coli is responsible for feeding the brain and nervous system. However, what it does is it pushes the E. coli out of the bowel, and then you have a very low colony. So what happens in about 6 months is it does the opposite. He starts breaking down. E. coli is the final stage of digestion for proteins and fats to feed the brain and nervous system.
E. coli in the large intestine.
Correct.
And so you that's why you're not a fan of colonics.
Correct.
I see.
You know.
Okay, so what do you think, Dad, you know, a weak guy like this, all right, let's say that I put him on, you know, like a dozen eggs a day and a few, what all do you recommend?
How tall is he?
5'10". He weighs, say, 170 pounds.
Yeah, it's pretty thin.
Yes, he's really thin.
Yeah, so what I would say is he needs probably about 18 to 24 eggs a day.
Wow.
And he needs, you know, some raw butter and honey together. Those are always the easiest things to eat and digest. And a little bit of vegetable juice a day.
A little bit of like a cucumber or celery, something like that?
Yeah, like maybe a third of the juice is celery and a third cucumber and but cucumber puree rather than cucumber juice,
uh-huh.
and that was skinned, of course, peeled,
yeah.
and about a third carrot juice.
What are the bones. And what do the vegetables add to that mix? What are they doing?
Well, that's allowing the acidity from the toxins that have caused his cancer
uh-huh.
to neutralize them with the with the alkalinizing. the alkalinizing minerals.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
it also delivers minerals and substance and enzymes for digestive activity.
Exactly. Now, here's one of the things they want to add to his diet is wheatgrass. They'd
very,
like for him to do that
bad.
A lot.
Very detoxify. Bad.
Very what?
Very bad.
Very bad. Why
yeah.
is it bad?
Because all of your grasses causes alkalinity in the intestinal tract and acidity in the blood, and we need just the opposite.
Acidity in the tract
yeah.
and alkaline
yeah.
in the blood.
Right. 95% of cancers reverse on my diet.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought Ann Wigmore had all this success with doing the wheatgrass stuff with cancer.
No. Most people who reverse cancers only reverse maybe 20 to 35% on her diet. And according to Harbin B. Joan, who's emeritus of medical physics and physiology at Berkeley for almost 40-some years, when he observed, cancer, that's what he followed and studied and observed, he found that people normally, this was in the 60s, 50s, 60s, and 70s,
mm-hmm.
that they reversed cancer on their own without doing anything else, not changing your diet or anything. So cancer was like flu. It had its course. The course may run, 3 to 5 years, but if left alone and he was against medical therapies of any kind, because
uh-huh.
he called, butchering, burning, and poisoning, the three different systems of the medical profession. I went through all three of them, and they made me an invalid.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Patrick, can I add one more thing to this?
Go ahead.
You know Dr. William Kelly? He wrote the book One Answer to Cancer.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
yeah,
I had the pleasure of talking to him on the telephone maybe 15 or 16 times over a 5 to 7 year period.
Uh-huh.
And he told me how he cured himself when he had pancreatic cancer. He said that what he did is he took raw liver, like beef liver.
Absolutely.
And ate it, put it into a blender and uh-huh. blended it up with tomato juice because he didn't like the taste of the liver.
Uh-huh.
So he put it, mixed like tomato juice or some kind of juice like that to it so he liked it.
Uh-huh.
And he did that 3 times a day, every day, and at the end of a year, he was 100% cured of his pancreatic cancer.
Yeah, that was Beeler's cure.
What's that?
Dr. Beeler's cure.
Uh-huh. Wow, that's pretty well. Thanks for the call. All the best. Let us know if we can help with your dad.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for your help.
Oh, yeah,
my
pleasure.
You're welcome.
Boy. So the organ meats.
I grew up in Tennessee.
Yeah. Boy, it's a beautiful country up there, too.
Yes.
So the organ meats are really kind of special, aren't they, with all of this?
Well, not necessarily.
No?
Most people don't eat organs, and most people reverse their diseases. Like I said, 95%. Very few of them eat organs.
Uh-huh.
If you're an athlete, it's probably a good idea to eat organs, or if you're somebody who's very active with construction work or something very heavy.
Uh-huh.
Organs can help stimulate, glandular activity, hormones. However, in a healthy species, hormone levels are almost nil because hormones, the endocrine gland system is meant for emergencies.
I see. So we don't want really raging hormones.
Right. Yeah, you're not supposed to have, in fact, your hormone levels should be barely detected. Of course, the pharmaceutical industry will jump on that in a flash and say, you're deficient.
Yeah, yeah.
Being low does not mean you're deficient. They'll say, somebody has diabetes, and 80% of the people who are diabetic that come to me were never ever diabetic in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
They just had one low sugar test, and then they were put on insulin.
Yeah. Yeah, God bless the doctors, Ogenis. They're wanting to get these main cholesterol numbers down to like 110 or 120. It's out of control.
Well, did you see the test that came out in 2006?
No.
Well, they did tests on 56,000 people, and they found that the cholesterol levels caused a great deal more disease if they were low.
Yeah.
And the cholesterol levels when they were high had very few diseases. They also found out in another test involving about the same amount of people that high blood pressure is another myth. The people who averaged 171 had almost no heart attacks. The people who averaged in the low, you know, 110 to 120 had all the heart attacks.
No kidding.
Yep.
Yeah, and I've read some stuff, too, that a lot of the vegetarians and vegans, they have very low blood pressures.
Yeah, not good.
Yeah, yeah.
I did, too. I had very low blood pressure and very slow heartbeat.
So what's a good resting pulse rate?
About 82 to 86.
I'll be darned. See, yeah. I've always thought the lower the better. You know, because a lot of these athletes, they brag, well, my resting heart rate is like 45 or something.
No, it's not common.
I mean, that's what Lance Armstrong, I think I heard it was like 40.
Uh-huh. Well, he was a vegetarian, too, after a while. So.
Was he? Yeah. Okay, here's an email. I have multiple sclerosis. It's a fast progressive form. I have a couple of questions, if you please take the time. Do you believe inflammation is a sign of healing?
Absolutely. Inflammation is detoxification.
Detox.
Whether it's bacterial, parasitical, or fungal, even viral. Viral, however, viruses are not alive. They have no nucleus. They have no respiratory system. They have no nucleus. So they are not a live thing. They are just particles, fragments of protein from the body using soaps to break down the body. They can even be byproducts of parasites or bacteria. This whole nonsense about viruses is ridiculous. And it's like saying, you know, if they think people are contagious with viruses, that's like saying Tide soap is contagious. It's an absurdity. But yes, infection is a detoxification.
All right, can one following his diet, who is definitely lactose intolerant, substitute cold-pressed olive oil for egg or butter in his recipes in his book?
No, the cold-pressed oils are mainly solvent-reactive, so it's just going to take him apart.
Take what apart?
Take his body apart. It's going to dissolve. It's going to cause more cleansing than building.
Oh, like olive oil causes more. It's more a cleansing.
Correct.
Yeah.
So the butters and the creams are very stabilizing and feed the system.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case of the MS, it's the hardening of the nerves. And then if the nerves don't operate and send their messages, then the muscles deteriorate.
So she wants to get this fat in there. What if she's lactose intolerant?
I've never met anybody whose MS is lactose intolerant to raw milk, raw dairy products.
Uh-huh.
So the key is getting raw dairy products.
Like cow or goat or which one?
Well, if the person is thin and has MS, then cow's milk is the way to go. Goat's milk has adrenal precursors, and it'll cause more adrenaline and cause a poor ability to gain weight in most people.
So if one has low adrenals, goat's milk would be good.
Yes.
All right. She goes on to say, in other words, he has a lubricating formula, nut formula, and coconut cream formula, but they all call for either butter, egg, and the like. And I'm lactose intolerant, but would like to follow the diet and utilize these in reversing my disease.
Right. That's the way to do it, with the lubrication formula.
Lubrication.
And,
go ahead
and the white meats, you know, fish and chicken.
Yeah.
Or fish and fowl.
Fish and fowl. So I'm wondering, just burn through those, the lactose intolerant.
Like I said, there's no lactose intolerance with milk, with butter, because there's no lactose in butter.
Okay.
I mean, there's a trace amount. That's about it. Because when you separate the water, the whey from it, which has most of the sugar in it, you only have fat. Butter's almost all fat.
Mm-hmm.
Cream has a small amount of lactose in it.
Have you ever had any patient with MS in a wheelchair walk again by following your diet?
I had a woman who from Toronto, who had MS and was completely gurney. She lived on a gurney.
Mm.
And she came down to see me. She had to buy two, what do they call those, first-class seats and they had to remove the seats and bolt her gurney to the plane. And then when she got here, an emergency vehicle brought her, and when she was asleep, I could put my hand within about 2.5 feet of her, and she'd wake up screaming.
Wow.
That's how bad and sensitive she was.
Wow.
She couldn't prepare anything. She was basically bedridden.
Hmm.
But because of her condition, extreme pain from being touched, she had to live on a gurney. She couldn't live in a bed because it was too much trouble for people to lean over and pick her up.
Hmm.
And she had to have everybody do everything for her. And I send people like that with either MS or lupus to the tropics. So I sent her to Mexico, below Mexico City, where it's more humid. And this was 9 years ago, and she is functioning. She does her own, prepares her own food. She's walking, and she's fine.
Wow. And doing your diet?
Yes.
Doing your diet?
Yeah, about probably 95%.
How long did it take her to get walking after she started doing?
Probably about 3 years.
Uh-huh. And the
well, 3 years walking without a cane and without a walker, mm-hmm, and without a wheelchair, mm-hmm, you know.
So why is the humidity important?
Well, when you have the cold will burn the fats in the nerve.
Oh.
So you can't afford to be cold if you have MS.
Yeah. What do you think the cause? I've always heard that MS, and not always, but oftentimes heard, Ogenus, that MS is a parasite issue as well.
Never. No, nothing's ever repaired. That's the medical profession's viewpoint, because they want to blame microbes for everything. The only thing that causes nerve deterioration is chemicals.
Chemicals.
Right. So vaccines with their chemicals in them, all of your, and metals in your food colorings, your food additives, your preservatives, your pesticides, herbicides, they all have heavy metals. That's how they poison things.
So the chemicals.
And your poisons, your nervous system operates mainly with, or to a high extent, with metallic minerals to conduct electricity,
right,
and reflect light.
To talk to each other.
Right.
Yeah.
So most of your heavy metals, your toxic metals, store in the nervous system.
Uh-huh. That's interesting. And the best way to get those out is?
Eating cilantro, having a little bit of cilantro juice because you don't want to detox too quickly, and eating dark berries.
Dark berries?
Yep. You know, like raspberries, blueberries, blackberries, with a little bit of coconut cream and a little bit of dairy cream.
And then also then your diet.
Yes, well, that's part of the diet.
That's part of the diet. So the fats then help get all the yuck stuff out.
Yes, absolutely.
The fats do. Well, that's
correct.
Interesting. 888-663-6386. Here's an email from Tim. What is the best way to avoid parasite infections with raw meat? I let my meat sit in lemon juice for a few minutes. Does this do the trick?
Well, you don't have to worry about parasites in meat. Parasites aren't normal to meat unless they've been out a long time. Every cell in your body is full of parasites. Eggs. That's part of any animal tissue. It's a natural breakdown. However, it takes in order for a parasite to live in an animal that isn't a digestive parasite, your body has to be damaged in some area where you have more dead tissue, decaying tissue than live. Then the parasites are nothing other than the janitors.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, I'd take a parasite any day because they can eat 100 times their weight in 24 hours, and their waste product is only 1-5%. So it's like eating 100 pounds of waste matter and only having to deal with 1-5 pounds of it.
So these parasite cleanses, you're not a fan of those?
Oh, yes, I am. Parasites are great.
I mean, no, parasite cleanses to get them out.
Oh, no, that's the worst thing you can do. Those are your best friends.
Wow, man.
And it's approved by a Dr. Joel Weinstock at the University of Iowa almost 24 years ago, that the trichinosis, the whipworm, the trichosis worm that causes so-called trichinosis, that we're told never to eat pork because of that.
Right.
It showed that people with inflammatory bowel syndrome and other intestinal problems got rid of their symptoms. And these people were suffering from 10 to 32 years there when he infused them with the trichoworm, the whipworm. Within 5 days, five of the six of them were completely asymptomatic. And these were people that suffered, even if they drank water, with cramps, diarrhea, vomiting. Mm. Everything they ate or drank caused severe problems. They were all without any symptoms in 5 days. I mean, five of the six of them. The other one wasn't even bothered. He discovered that because he grew up on a farm, and at the university, the pigs were all sick, and they were in a sanitary environment and kept very clean and supposedly giving healthy, clean food. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. So he went and looked at the pigs, diagnosed them at the farms, and found that that's what they had, the trichinosis, the whipworm. So he filtered out the whipworm from their intestines and put it into those pigs at the university, and the pigs were well in a week.
Wow. Do you think nuts are a good food?
Well, they're very difficult to digest, and I use them only to calm the nervous system and lower overexcitable hormones that they dump into the pie. Let's say you don't have a good fat that you've been ingesting all over the years, so it's stored in your body, and your body produced toxic adrenaline,
uh-huh.
and that causes a very erratic, nervous, almost angry energy. So I ask people to eat a nut formula, which is taking the nuts, the soft nuts like walnuts and pecans and pine nuts, and then blending them and grinding them into a powder until they are a flour, and then blending them with raw egg and some raw butter and a little bit of honey. So very tasty, and it allows the body to use those starches to bind with those excessive erratic hormones.
Interesting. Here's an email from Lee. Many people say that too much protein is hard on the body, especially the kidneys. What about that, and how much protein does Ajahnus eat per meal per day?
Yeah, well, that's very true if you're eating cooked meats, because they have a tendency to putrefy. And people who eat cooked foods and cooked meats should eat some raw salads to balance it. However, on my raw diet, you don't want whole salads. You just want vegetable juice. Now, the meats, when you eat, I eat up to 3 pounds a day.
3 pounds of meat.
That, I'm not an active person. I spend maybe 16 hours a day on my computer. So I don't get much activity. I carry my groceries once a week. But several times a year, I'll go search out tribes in different islands all over the world. And I do a lot of hiking and canoeing and stuff like that. During those times, I'll eat up to 3 pounds of fish a day.
Wow. Here is another email from Rod. This is from the UK. Ajahnus and Patrick, I'm loving the show and finding it very interesting. Thank you for letting us connect with you both. Could I please ask Ajahnus what he would recommend that a vegetarian eats who refuses to eat any meats or eggs?
Hmm. Well, dairy would be the best thing for them to eat. I do have some patients who do live on dairy. They're mostly women and not people who are very active. But I also have a few elderly gentlemen who will not eat anything but the raw dairy. But they're not going to have a lot of energy. The reason for that is we need some more stable protein that has a little bit more, a different ratio of amino acids. Take, for example, there's a fellow from Wisconsin, Baroque, Wisconsin, who just finished a bike ride from Virginia all the way to my place in Malibu just last week. And he was going to prove that he could live on just raw milk traveling across the United States, bicycling every day.
Mm.
It took him 43 days, I think it was. And he wasn't able to do it on just the dairy. He had to have 10% meat. But he was able to do it on that.
What does cooking to the meat do that's undesirable, in your opinion?
Well, cooking in general causes 32 known toxins, byproduct toxins. The main one is heterocyclic amines, that is a protein toxin, and also lipid peroxides, which are fat toxins. But there are all other, there are a lot of other compounds which cause the same problem. It causes putrefaction of the meat. It doesn't move through. That's why eating salads is a good way to push the cooked meat through. But it can cause, in the tribes that eat mainly cooked meats, they have gout, arthritis, rheumatism, a little bit of scoliosis at times. It can also produce some bone deterioration, osteoporosis. But those are mainly the disease that those tribes that live on raw meats, I mean the cooked meats, the tribes that live on raw meat like the Samburu, Samburu Maasai, Inuit, some of the tribes in the Philippines, and in Thailand, they have no disease.
No disease.
I was just with one tribe a few months ago, and they were living to about 130-some years old, and they're completely remote. It takes a full day and a half to get there, and you have to go by boat, and you have to hike and do all this stuff. And I got to talk mostly with an 80-year-old man who gave me his time. He was the shaman of the tribe. And they eat only fish, raw coconut meat, and a fruit, maybe a banana or a mango. They live on three foods only. Mm-hmm. They were the strongest, thickest, healthiest people I ever met.
Really?
And he looked like he was maybe in his mid-40s.
Right. Well, is it a fair comparison, though, sir, with people with no electromagnetic fields and television and stress and chemicals and pollution, you know what I mean? Can we compare it that way, like that?
Yeah, we can. We can see what is basic to us by that and how healthy. Because, you know, the USDA and the FDA are always telling us we've got to have the food pyramid, which is cooked starches other nonsense.
Right.
And it's nonsense. I mean, these people living on three foods, the Maasai, the Samburu are the same way, and the Fulani live on 90% raw dairy.
Is there a certain food or foods that are best to combine with raw meat in your experience?
Well,
like when you're eating raw meat.
Most people do better by just eating everything alone, like mono meals. However, it's always best to eat a little bit of butter with your meat so you don't use it as a fuel.
You don't use it as a fuel. What do you mean?
Yeah, you want to use it to build your body.
Ah.
You eat raw meat, especially if you don't like it, then you want to use it to its greatest advantage, which is to build the system.
Oh, so if you just eat it alone, you're just going to use it for energy, and then
sometimes a lot of it, especially if you're a thin person, is going to be used as pyruvate, as a fuel.
Ah.
So if you eat some butter with it, then your body has the fat to burn as fuel.
I see. Do you do things like coconut oil, any kind of superfoods that we hear about, the goji berries, all this kind of stuff?
Well, you know, that's a fallacy. That's a big money maker. Any of those foods have been processed and heated. They're really not raw. It's a fallacy. You cannot dry a food and make it into a powder or even a pill unless it is heat processed.
Even freeze dried?
Well, freeze dried is a little different.
A little different.
Freezing causes the same breakdown.
It does.
It's not as bad as cooking, but it does cause a breakdown.
I saw an interesting product the other day. I actually bought some. It was at a special place, and it was grass-fed organ meats from New Zealand, actually freeze-dried.
Yep.
And they call it a superfood. It's great, man. I said, well, that's interesting.
Well, I don't know.
It
will help your body. It will help your body relearn how to make hormones.
Uh-huh.
And I do that. I do recommend that. If you can't get fresh glands.
Fresh glands.
Yeah, but let me show you the difference.
What do you mean now? Wait, fresh glands. What do you mean, fresh glands?
Well, you know, you were talking about freeze-dried.
Oh, joints, I see. Right? Only if you can't get the fresh.
Correct.
Okay.
Let me show you the difference.
All
in
right.
my experiments with people and animals, if they had, let's say, a thyroid or an adrenal problem,
right?
If I gave them the freeze-dried, they had to take it, you know, like 5 days a month, but every month. When I gave them adrenal gland raw, and they had one, let's say, depending upon, like, I used buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
So a buffalo's adrenal gland is about the size of a thumb.
Mm-hmm.
Very small.
Mm-hmm.
Not so big. And so is the thyroid. The thyroid's probably that large, too.
Mm-hmm.
Only one thyroid would last 3 months.
Just eat one thyroid?
One thyroid. One adrenal
wow.
gland. It would last for 3 months. Then the second time, I would wait till the symptoms appeared again. Then the next time I fed it to them after 3 months, it was 5 to 6 months before they needed another. And then the next time it was a year. Then the next time it was 8 months, and then they never needed it again.
Very
However, if you take the freeze-dried, you have to continually take it.
Just like the standard process, for example.
Yeah, but standard process are chemically treated. You have to understand that all of those people are lying, but not lying. They're lying because they were lied to. They have to go to a laboratory, some chemist, and the chemist will say, oh, I can make that natural. But let me tell you, to raise a plant or a product and then to process it just for those elements, you would be paying $1,000 a pill. So what they do is they go to a laboratory and say, can you make this natural for me? I don't want you to use any chemicals or anything. So they say, sure, we'll use only natural substances. Kerosene is natural. Kerosene, would you drink it?
No, sir.
It's rocket fuel. It's the airplane fuel. Okay? It would deteriorate and kill you. But they use kerosene derivatives as fractionation chemicals to fractionate these particles to be able to isolate them, and they'll also use heat. So, but what they do is those chemical houses, those pharmaceutical houses, or whatever, those laboratories will go to food companies who've already processed the food, and they'll go for, let's say, wheat germ to get vitamin E, and they'll buy this wheat germ that's already been heavily processed by one company, and then they say, well, we're not using any chemicals, but it's already chemically processed. And then they'll use a natural to break down the E and separate in it, which is the kerosene derivative. So none of that stuff is truly what they say it is, because they don't know the chemistry process.
Are you suggesting that there's an issue with standard processed brands?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They don't grow those plants. If they did, your pills would be $1,000 a pill.
If they don't, they don't do what again, sir?
They have to grow their own crops. They have to take those elements, those substances that they're after, you know, the vitamin and mineral supplements.
Yeah.
They have to extract them from a food.
Well, I think most of the standard process, too, is from animals, aren't they? Bovine. I mean, you see that almost every label, the bovine.
Well, if you're talking about their glands,
yeah.
Yes, but I'm talking about their other substances.
Oh. So their glands, do you have any experience with those?
Yes, I do. I have a little bit of experience. When they're freeze-dried and they're raw, they use no heat, and it's just a gland.
And so they're pretty good,
I guess. We're just talking about a gland. Well, I'm talking about their vitamin and enzyme supplements.
I see.
Of those have to be processed.
Chemically processed. I'm glad I clarified, because a lot of their stuff is the bovine. You know, they do animal stuff, you know. Because I know a lot of vegetarians don't like to take that stuff, because it's mostly from cow or something.
Well, it's a buffalo.
Oh, is it buffalo?
Buffalo, often buffalo, or sometimes cow.
Uh-huh. Here's an email. Patrick, I want to know Ogenus' recommendations to reverse neuropathy in the hands and feet from MS. What foods will help with this, and what foods will help soothe my neuropathy for the time being?
Well, like I said, earlier when I was talking with the MS patient, you know, raw chicken or any raw fowl that's not fed a lot of soy, and fish together, eaten together with butter and a little bit of cream. Eating milk is very good for regenerating the nervous system, helping you regenerate the nervous system. So eating, you know, little small amounts of the fish and chicken with a little butter, two, three times a day, let's say, you know, a half to three quarters of a cup, depending, three times a day. So it's a little under a pound altogether. And that's mixing them equal, the poultry to the fish. And let's say one and a half tablespoons of butter with each of those meat meals. And then sipping milk the rest of the time to restore sensation. Papaya is very good for that, as long as it's not irradiated.
The sensation in the legs and the hands.
Yes.
Now, she does say she can't tolerate dairy.
Yeah, that's not true. You know, like I said, I've never found anybody with MS that has a true intolerance to raw milk.
Raw milk.
Yes, raw milk. There's a big difference.
And what about healing the optic nerve?
The optic nerve is a difficult one because it's a very restricted circulatory system. Very little circulation of any kind gets into the eye. Also, for that, for the MS, the feet and the hands, rubbing coconut cream into the hands.
Coconut cream?
Into the feet, yes.
And
that's taking the meat of the coconut, the good thick meat of the coconut, and putting it through a juicer like Green Star 1000.
Sure.
And separating the pulp from the cream. You need to juice that at a room that's 80 degrees, or you're not going to get much juice out of the coconut.
So, do you use those young white coconuts? Are those okay? Or
you've got to use the thick meated kind, not the young gelatin. Young gelatin doesn't have any gelatinous coconuts don't have any fat in them.
Oh, I see. So you got to use the hard,
the
hairy
mature
ones.
Sure, yes.
Yeah, the hard, hairy ones. Yeah.
Here's
an email from Martha. She wants to know. I want to hear your guest's thoughts on doing liver gallbladder flushes and what he thinks of the actual stones. Where he thinks the stones come from?
Well, the stones are a collection of toxic minerals that you've gotten from cooked foods. When you cook a food, you completely fractionate it. You absorb many more nutrients than we are meant to. For example, let's take some famous people that everybody knows. John Travolta and, let's say, Kevin Costner. You look at them when they were in their teens and 20s, these were ultra-skinny people.
Yeah.
Now you look at them and they're all thick. Their bones are overly thick. Everything is overly thick because they're eating cooked foods that have many, many, many two nutrients that can be absorbed but not absorbed properly. So they don't have the dexterity that they did as a young person and when their body was trimmer.
Very interesting.
So all of these toxins will collect these heavy toxic minerals. So they will collect, and sometimes they become, often they are magnetic. And so they collect in the bladder or kidney or gallbladder, the urinary bladder or gallbladder, sometimes liver, and that's not frequent. That's a rarity. I've never seen it. I just heard about it. But I've never seen it in any human or animal. To me, I think it's a fiction. But, you know, I haven't seen everybody in the world,
so
I can't say that it isn't so.
We've been doing a lot of shows and research on the whole dental thing, teeth and cavities it's a huge deal for people, as you know. If you got bad teeth, boy, it's tough. What are some of your ideas on the whole oral pathology thing?
Well, the tribes that eat all raw with raw meats and raw dairy, they have no dental caries their entire lives. You know, they're perfect teeth. Everything's wonderful. If you're asking about the materials...
Well, no, I'm asking about now the people would like to get their teeth in better shape. You know, well, after eating the, say, what you're considering the wrong foods, like cooked foods or whatever, processed foods over the year.
Well, you remember I said that a lot of the toxic metals go into the brain, metallic minerals go to the brain and nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when they dump out the gums, the salivary gland, and the tongue.
Mm.
That's where they dump mostly. So when you've got mercury, lead, cobalt, any of those very toxic substances, and even radioactive ones, let's say you've had barium contrast for x-rays, even iodine, those are very toxic. And when they leak out the gums to discard, they are what damage the teeth. Your body will use a tremendous amount of calcium, phosphorus, and magnesium to make plaque to bind with those. Now, the idea the body is causing them to turn into plaque is to keep them from damaging the dentine.
Very interesting.
But those are what damage the dentine. Bacteria never causes the damage. Bacteria is in there eating the damaged dentine in the tubule cells so that you can regenerate the dentine and the tubules. However, people don't eat properly, so the teeth are the first thing to go, or the bones are. And that's why, you know, your animal buyers always look to the teeth of an animal first.
Ah, interesting.
Because you find deep-rooted problems and deep-rooted health if the teeth are bad.
So it's the metals from the chemicals and stuff.
From, yeah, all the pesticides, everything in food, all the chemical additives. Colorings are very full of them. Herbicides, pesticides are full of the heavy metals. Vaccines are absolutely the worst thing in the world.
And again, let's talk a little bit about, before we go, about how to get these heavy metals out.
Well, like I said before, you use the berries, the dark berries, help remove those metals.
Dark berries. Is that like a blackberry or a blueberry?
Blackberry, blueberry, boysenberry.
Uh-huh, okay.
Even dark mulberries.
Okay.
And you have them with coconut cream and just a little bit of dairy cream.
And coconut cream would be the combination of the juice and the meat, right?
No, the coconut cream is when you juice the meat and you get this cream out of it.
Yeah.
Very thick. Now, like I say, in my both of my books, I tell you how to make the coconut cream because it's so important for detoxification.
Okay.
However, you have to do it. The room has to be 80 degrees.
80
degrees.
Well,
you're juicing it.
I see. Because?
Because if the temperature is below that, the cream and the fats will not release from the fiber.
That's amazing. 80 degrees.
Yep.
And well, one of those champion...
But you can juice, you know, you could juice like 10, 15 coconuts.
Yeah.
And, you know, bottle it in little 4 to 8 ounce jelly jars and keep it in your refrigerator for 5 weeks.
Will a champion juicer do that?
A champion juicer will, but that the gear in the center, you know, that grinds up and presses is plastic, and it pushes forward. So it takes a lot of time and a lot of energy to put it through there, but it will. But your double gear stainless steel magnetic are much better, like in your Green Star.
A Green Star.
Yeah.
Green Star 1000. So you got the coconut cream and the berries is a real good thing to get the metals out.
Right. That's for the darker metals, and then your lighter metals like oxidized iron and iodine. The raspberries are good for that.
And so berries will do the trick?
Yep, berries will help, and also the cilantro.
Yep.
Remember, you can eat a little bit of cilantro and have a little bit of cilantro juice.
Uh-huh. And that'll get it out. Huh?
That'll very gradually. Like I said, it takes anywhere from 20 to 200 fat cells to remove one molecule of mercury, or about 200 to 1,000 fat cells to get rid of one molecule of mercury. So it takes a long time and a lot of nutrients to get rid of mercury and some of those other very toxic substances like thallium. Thallium is almost as toxic as mercury, and it's as, almost as soft as lead.
It's very interesting you say that, because I've had people tell me that it's quite difficult for vegetarians to get rid of mercury out of their body.
Oh, it's impossible.
Really?
Yeah, in fact, The tests that have been done on vegetarians show the highest amount of pesticides and heavy metals and herbicides of any other dietary group.
Wow.
Because they eat no fats.
Well, don't they do coconut oil and nuts and things
But it doesn't. They don't digest them.
Because they don't have...
Because they don't have an acidic system. They keep over-alkalinizing
them. Yeah, well, this whole thing, I mean, everybody's trying to get an alkaline pH, man.
And that's wrong. We should be 5.5 to 5.8.
5.5 to 5.8.
Right. The urine, the saliva, and the blood should be 5.5 to 5.8.
Boy, you break all the rules here, Hodgins.
Oh, I didn't break them. They broke them to make the medical profession.
No, I mean, you know, the whole natural field is full of getting up to 6.5 to 7.0.
Well, that's because people really don't do the science. They don't do the experiments to prove one way or another I did.
I've had people tell me that if you're down at 5.5 to, where'd you say 5.5 to?
5.8.
5.8, that you're actually in bone loss then.
Never
because...
No, in fact, everybody on this particular diet restores their bones.
And why do we get into bone loss?
Well, again, you're eating cauterized minerals from cooked foods, and that's mainly the reason. Just pasteurizing milk at 141 degrees ruins 50% of the absorption of your calcium.
Is it a big upside to ferment your raw milks and kefir and stuff like that?
That's always better. Remember, fermentation is bacteria that's pre-digesting your nutrients for you. That is a good thing. That's why eating, you know, I did a show for Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Did you?
In 2001, aired July 17th. It's the most aired episode I've seen it all over the world. Since it's the most aired episode. And I eat meats that are a year and 3 months old with parasites, bacteria, unit fungus, everything.
No kidding.
Gangrene on it. And I eat those to prove that they are pre-digested, that you get invigorated right away. In fact, if I have any patients who have long-term psychological problems, when they eat the high meat, is the way Eskimos call it, they get happy in 10 to 20 minutes.
Get happy, man.
Yeah, I mean, these people are taking 27 medications a day.
Wow.
And then when they start eating the high meat, they don't take any more medication.
Well, Hodgins, you are an interesting man to talk to.
Remember, whatever the medical profession says, 99% of it is just the opposite.
Yeah, I understand that, but then we have the natural medical profession, you know,
that's
as well.
They're trained in the same way.
You know, like
all of them are bacteriophobic.
And parasite phobic, too.
Yep. And those are just janitors and pre-digesters. They're good things.
Good things to have around.
Yep.
Now, your latest book, that's the one, if people were going to just get one book, you'd recommend that one, The Recipe for Living Without Disease?
No, I'd recommend the first one,
okay.
And then the second one.
And then get the second one.
Yes.
And it's wewanttolive.com. Quick email came in, said, how come you don't have any videos on YouTube?
I just don't have time for that, but actually shot some yesterday, so these fellows who are on the diet are going to put some out. I will have a DVD that's coming out in about a month of my workshop, so people who can't travel to where I give workshops will be able to purchase it.
That's a great idea. I'll get on your email list and keep folks up to date with what you're doing. And if you ever get in the Central Texas area where I live, you know, let us know and help get the word out around this area.
Okay.
But, we have, as you can tell, listeners all over the world. But it's a pleasure to talk to you.
Well, I've got a good friend, Ron Paul.
Oh, man. Yeah. We just talked to him not long ago. We're trying to get him to run for governor in 2010.
Well, there you go. Well, I just was with him 2 weeks ago in Washington, D.C. He just wrote submitted to the House. A raw milk bill, make it legal.
Well, I was going to ask him about that. That is so cool. I will check in with him. Yeah,
so all you people who support HR 778.
HR 778.
Yes.
Oh, so this is a national bill.
Oh, yes, it's a federal bill.
HR 778.
Yep.
You know, I had him on the show not long ago, and I said, Congressman, what would it take for you to run for governor in 2010? How many signatures on a petition? And he said, a lot. I said, well, what do you mean a lot? How many? Give me a number. And I said, he said, and I just said to him, well, you know, I'd sure like to see you take this Constitution out for a spin and see what it'll do.
Yes.
Wouldn't that be great? Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Did he say he would do it or
no,
not?
No, probably. You know, now he's been hedging his bets, but I think it'd be a great chance because he said right on the show that they're not going to ever let him in. You know, the boys aren't going to let him in on the big stage.
Well, not with Bush and the Basses and Texas.
And all that stuff. But maybe he could get a state, and then we could secede from the union and show people how to do it.
Who knows? That would be good.
I'm into that. All right, sir. It's a pleasure. Thank you for
spending.
It's been a joy. Thank you.
Okay.
Agnes Vander Planets. We want to live.com. And that's a two. We want to live.com. Wow, it's pretty wild, huh? I'm going to go down and have a raw burger, man. I just start getting into the Western price work, and I've been eating a lot of meat over the last couple of months. So now he's got me thinking here. So, wow, what am I doing cooking this stuff? It's always something, man. I tell you what. I've been at this nutrition stuff for 30 years, and with each passing day, I know less about what's really going on. Well, we're going to talk to Brent Evans, or what the heck's his name, tomorrow with the Horizon Project about 2012 and combining science with prophecy. And also the gentleman who says if you ever get somebody tells you once you go to court, don't do it. And he's going to show you how to just stay out of court. That's tomorrow night, The Real World of Money with Andrew Goss on Wednesday night. He tells you things about money that nobody is going to tell you. My name is Patrick Timpone. I love you all very much, and I'll see you tomorrow night at 7 o'clock.
From the Hill Country of Texas, this is